So we have been teaching and considering the significance of the identity of Christ. And as we enter this season of Lent, we've engaged in a journey of discovery and a journey of seeking and experience with the Spirit of the living God. I don't know if you remember that song we sang sometimes. Spirit of the living God, what? Fall afresh on me, right? Fall afresh on me. We are seeking this. I don't know about you, but this Lent season has really triggered something in my soul. There's the hunger. There's something here saying, God, God, what is it that you want of us? How are you calling us to do your will? So in Christ's identity and its relationship to the work of the Holy Spirit, I think that we can find a focal point for us to learn about this God. And Christ is God's epiphany, right? Revelation to us. His revelation about who God is. And last Sunday we saw the test that Jesus endured when he was led by the Spirit to the desert. And we saw before then that Jesus had been baptized and God had ID'd him. Remember? He had pointed to him and said, this is my son. This is my son. And then through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is led directly to be questioned about his identity. And you remember the question, right? If you are the Son of God, then do this. And then you know that the devil was challenging not only his identity, but was trying to change the vision that Jesus had of himself and his mission for the world. And I just want to remind you that this is what the devil is an expert at. He is an expert at questioning who you are. And he's an expert at changing or attempting to change your mission in life. He's an expert. We know that because of the Garden of Eden, right? Remember? Tell me about a change in vision. So we've heard about God's origin. I mean, about our origin in God. In Genesis, it says that we have been created in God's image. And we spend our lives, instead of being created in God's image, we try to create God in our own image. I don't know if you have tried to do that sometimes. Right? We try to put on God some of our stuff. And then we paint this God with our brush. And we forget that we have been created in His image. So it's for us to discover Him. Not to put on Him all of our stuff. But as human beings, that's mostly what we do. We have this experience and we just usually try to impose that on our God. What I was thinking about that is, it seems like the birds are the ones shooting back at the hunters, right? You know, can you imagine that? You know, they're are sitting here trying to hunt the birds and the birds take out the AK-47s, you know. No, I'm going to hunt you. So it seems like it doesn't make any sense for us to do that. But if we take time to reflect a little bit in our ways, in our behaviors, in our values and our practices, we may note that contradictions that sometimes we live. So when Paul encourages the believers in Philippi to imitate him. And those who live according to that example, we immediately need to question what that means. What does it mean to imitate this guy? You see, if you don't question that, you may think that Paul is making is self-reference or wanting people to become more like him. And that would be a mistake. Because that's not what he's saying. And let's see what he says in the previous chapter. Chapter 2, in the letter to Philippians, he says, "Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind." Isn't that difficult sometimes? Verse 3 says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Lest each of you look not at your own interest, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." Are you following what I'm reading here? You see where Paul is coming from. And he continues, verse 6, "Who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in a human form. And he humbled himself and became," oh, the O word. You know the O word, right? Obedient. Yeah. He became the O word. He became obedient to the point of death, and even death on a cross. Now, when you read this, again, I am questioned about what is Paul trying to do with the Philippians, which he loves so much. He knows that the Philippians have a great relationship with God, but still, he is encouraging them to seek more, to seek further, and to have their example in Christ Jesus. And the description about the example of Christ Jesus is that Christ didn't take his position and exploited it. Instead, he humbles himself. He does away with himself in order to be with us. And as he comes with us, guess what he does? He is obedient to the Father. Again, that O word. So what do you see here? What are you thinking in terms of what Jesus is trying to do? Well, he abandons his position and privilege of equality with God, comes, empties himself, humbles himself, and becomes obedient. What does that mean for me? You see, Paul sees himself in Christ. He doesn't see himself as the old Paul. And I hope that you're following with me. Because if we are going to imitate Paul, we want to know what is it that we're imitating. Right? We want to know what is it that is gearing this man to say, people, hey, follow my example. And we know of his past life, his example is not a very good one. Because originally, he was persecuting the Christians, those who were following Christ. So that is not where he's talking about. He's talking about what God has done in him through Christ. Now he is imitating Christ, who humbled himself, emptied himself, and came to the earth, right? And you already know the story. Now, we know then that Paul did not try to create God in his own image. Rather, he is adopting God's image for himself, who is exemplified in Christ. All right. Are you here?
Yeah.
All right. I just want to call your attention. Because we tend to deviate. Hello? Yeah. We tend to deviate from that vision. We tend to do our own thing. We tend to go our own way. And this is why Paul is asking the Philippians to come back and say, hey, imitate what I am doing. Because this is what Jesus was doing. Now, we hear in that letter that many had a different way of behaving. And he says it actually with pain, tears. Right? He says, their God is the belly. Now, let us all look at our bellies. Right? Let's all look at our bellies for a little bit. Right? Sometimes this grows. And I'm sure you know what he's talking about, right? It's not the growth of the belly, but the fact that we're just trying to feed ourselves. We have this desperation about being us. Their minds are in earthly things. That's human. That's what happens with you and me. But look at what he's saying. If your God is your belly, your end is destruction. If your eyes are centered here, your end is destruction. If this is what you're trying to follow, your end is the destruction, and your glory is in your own shame. That's tough. Those are hard words to hear. But isn't it true that we find ourselves too many times right there? Isn't it true that too many times our preferences take over? Isn't it true that too many times you and I struggle with staying centered and imitating Christ? All right, so let's not take Paul's words just as blah, blah, blah. Let's not take Paul's words as just somebody that is talking 2,000 years ago and we're hearing today, and it really doesn't matter, because it does matter to you and me. The belly, he is one of those places where he tries to put the focal point, right? And if you notice, he's talking about worship. You see, using this as the center of worship rather than Christ. Right? So he's using the belly as that center of worship and the mind as a steering device. And I think this is interesting. Because Jesus was confronted with a challenge, right? We talked about that last week, right? You're here? Okay. Hunger. Remember? Hunger. And his will. The first thing that the devil says to him is, convert rocks to bread. Right?
Yes.
In other words, worship yourself. And then Jesus' words that you very well know. Man does not live by? Okay. You following me?
Yeah.
Right? So you see, focal point of worship. He says, if this is your focal point, then that's why you're worshiping. And then the will. If you are the Son of God, right? Then do this. I'll tell you what Reuben's translation is. If you are the Son of God, why don't you obey your belly? If you're the Son of God, why don't you forego your mission and bend to that delusion of glory that I have for you? Did you hear those words? And do you see the devil's mistake? See, because that's where he screwed it up. That's exactly where he missed the point. Because Jesus knew exactly who to worship. Jesus knew exactly what his identity was. He had clarity of identity. He knew that it wasn't here. And he had clarity of his mission and his mind. And he knew that it was not a matter of exalting himself, but of exalting who?
God.
Okay. So if it's not a matter of exalting yourself, it is a matter of exalting God. What are we doing? What are we doing from Monday through Saturday? Are we delusional in thinking that it is about us? And that God should bend to our dreams and our desires? Or are we clear where our focal point should be? What is the focal point of our entire lives? It should be in God who created us in His image. Our citizenship is in okay, all right. So what does that mean about your identity? All right, if you can, why don't you take out your license and look at your picture, right? Paul is saying that ain't it. Paul is saying that ain't it. This is good for the police. Or when we need to cash a check. Right?
Yeah.
It's no good for eternity. So if your citizenship it's in heaven, that means that ID isn't temporary. Right? And if our citizenship is in heaven, that means that we should know heaven's anthem. Right? What do we do when the anthem is sang at the Broncos games? Right? We do this and we recite the words. We know it by heart. Why don't we know the anthem of heaven? Why don't we know the civics of heaven? Why don't we know the culture of heaven? Why don't we know the kind of government of heaven? Because that's where we belong. That's where we need to be looking for and learning about. In essence, the kingdom of? What did Christ do? He says, hey, the kingdom of heaven is here. It's here now. It's here now. So in essence, we're not necessarily going to learn that in a time in the by and by. We need to learn that now. We need to be aware of that now, because the kingdom is here. Excuse me. I'm sorry, I'm getting excited. So all these things, right? Learning anthems and knowing about civics and knowing about culture and knowing about identity. All of these things are about living according to the Spirit of God in Christ. We're all about knowing what God is this. So let me ask you, are we comfortable in our own skin? Are we comfortable in the status quo? Are we comfortable in our flesh? With our own attitudes? With our own references and our own opinions? Or are we to imitate Christ in the Spirit of God? You see, imitate is something that is important. Because to imitate means that we are to observe, right? He says that. Imitate and observe those, right? I did a little exercise this week, and I looked at the root of that word, observe. Hey, I was working. And you know that observe comes from observare, Latin word. Obi ob means in the way, and servare means to keep. To keep in the way. So the root of the word observe refers to keeping in the way of. Right? Keeping in the way of, not our own. So if we follow Paul's train of thought, we are to keep in the way of Paul's example, which intends to imitate Christ. See a connection? Observare. Observe those who are working with me. Imitate me. So if we're citizens of heaven, then we need to value the importance of knowing this God and what God is this that we worship and that we serve. And what is this God's vision for us? We don't want to be enemies of God. I really wouldn't go there. I don't want to be God's enemy. And that's why Paul says, stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in the Lord. This is a calling for people that have been hearing the gospel for a long time. You've heard these words many times. But I'm sure that it doesn't matter how many years we've been in the gospel of Christ, we still struggle with these things. Because there's still this enemy of our souls trying to steal that vision from our consciousnesses. That's why when we read scripture, I was talking to Pastor Paul. You know who Pastor Paul is? This messianic group that meets here on Saturdays. And he was saying, how in the world are we going to get to know this God? He's the true meaning of peeling an onion. Right? There's this layer, right? When I was in my 20s, I read the scriptures. There's this layer. In my 30s, I read again. There's this other layer. In my 50s, I'm reading and, oh my God, this is a big onion. This is huge. It's unfathomable how awesome is the Lord on high. We will never finish this quest because God is too much for us. But as much as we seek, as much as we learn about the Spirit, as much as we equip ourselves with His mindset, it's as much as we're going to live an abundant life. Now, so many of us here already know Christ, but what if we don't know? We're not citizens yet. Well, guess what? There's amnesty. I think about that. There's amnesty. Jesus Christ, He makes us citizens even when we don't have papers. Do you know this Christ? He abandoned that place so that He could show Himself to us. And I urge you to observe Him so that you can experience that life abundant. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us. Help us to stand firm. In Your Word. Help us, Lord, to locate our fossey, our focus of worship in You and not in us. Feed us. Feed Your sheep with Your Spirit. Amen.